Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. Early on in his Prolegomena to Any Future Metaphysics, Immanuel Kant credited David Hume with awakening him from his dogmatic slumber and thus leading to the critical or transcendental philosophy that will be elaborated in the Critique of Pure Reason. And in the second part, he's going to bring up Hume quite explicitly and talk about Hume's doubt. The word there is Zweifel, right? So that can be translated just fine as doubt, but we could also say Hume's problem, the problem as we often call it, of causality. Sometimes it's called the problem of induction. The slightly different matter there. But for Hume, there's going to be a problem in making assertions about one thing being the cause of another thing. And Kant says, well, Hume is partly right. So what is Hume correct about? Says that Hume justly or rightly, mit Recht, right, with rightness, actually does maintain that we can't comprehend, in the German Einsehen, through or by, durch Reason, Vernunft, the possibility of causality. And Kausalität is the German cognate that he is using there. And this, you know, makes good sense, he says. What is going on there? The reference of the existence of one thing to the existence of another, which is necessitated by the former. So necessitated, that's a really key idea there. Hume is saying, we don't really know that one thing is the cause of another because we never grasp that in experience, and we can't derive it solely by a priori reasoning about that, because all we get from a priori reasoning is the relation of certain ideas to each other. It doesn't tell us anything about the reality of the world or the things in it. And Kant is going to, in a certain respect, raise the stakes, as he did earlier, by saying, you know, you can generalize this. It's not just causality itself, it's also substance and what he calls community or Gemeinschaft of things. So he goes on and he says, the very same incomprehensibility is going to apply to the concept of subsistence, the necessity that at the foundation of the existence of things, there lies a subject which cannot itself be a predicate of any other thing. And, you know, what's he talking about there? It's sort of a bottom level of substance, a substratum, as Locke called it. Subject and predicate here is kind of Aristotelian ways of thinking about it. But this is the concept of substance that Kant is working with at the time. He also then goes on to say, all right, the same thing applies to the community of things. We cannot comprehend how from the state of one thing, an inference to the state of quite another thing beyond it, and vice versa, can be drawn, and how substances which each have their own separate existence should depend on one another necessarily. So not only is causality kind of up for grabs, so is substance, so is community. And you know, if you look at the tables that he had a little bit earlier in the work, we see that, you know, these are under the relation in the transcendental tables of the concept of the understanding, substance, cause, and community. So that's where Kant says that Hume has got things right, but he says that where Hume is going wrong is in going too far. Hume is saying that these are not derived from any experience. Kant wants to say, okay, they're not derived merely from any experience that we have. And they're not illusions produced by habit, as Kant is going to turn causality into custom or habit. So what is Kant's solution to this? He says that I have shown, so this is earlier in the work, that they and the principles derived from them are established a priori before all experience. And how is he going to do this? This is where in section 28, he's going to run through each of these. He says, though I have no conception of such a connection of things in themselves, how they can either exist as substances or act as causes or stand in community with others as parts of a real whole. And I can just as little think of such properties and appearances as such, because those concepts contain nothing that lies in the appearances, but only what the understanding must think. Okay, so that's setting up the problem. He goes on and says, we have yet a concept, a begriff, of such a connection of representations in our understanding and in our judgments generally. So let's pause for a second there. What he's saying is that, okay, Hume has pointed something out that's quite correct. We're not getting these from experience. We can't just reason our way to them. And yet we do, in fact, in the understanding, have substance, cause, and community. Where the hell are we getting them from? And the answer has already been given to us a bit earlier, but Kant is going to go back over this in order to address Hume's problems. So he says that we have a concept, or we might actually want to pluralize this, concepts of such connections of representation, Vorstellung, right? Things that are presented to us in the understanding. So he says that representations belong in one sort of judgment as subject in relation to predicates, their substance. In another, as ground in relation to consequence, causality. In a third, as parts which constitute together a total possible cognition. Okay, so we've got, that's community, all three of these in our understanding. Further, we know a priori without considering the representation of an object as determined with regard to one or the other of these moments, we can have no valid cognition of the object. If we should occupy ourselves with the object in itself, which we're not going to do, there is not a single possible attribute by which I could know it's determined with regard to one or the other of these moments, right? Belonging to substance, cause, or community, because I don't have any conception of the possibility of the connection of such a connection of existence, a connection of the existence of things in themselves. But, he says, the question isn't how things in themselves are determined. We're not talking about that. This is where Hume got things wrong. We're asking about how objects of experience can and must, notice the possibility and then necessity, must be subsumed under concepts of the understanding. He's already laid this out for us. And he says, that I actually get. And so he says, if we want to do a test, if we want to, is a beautiful phrase, in order to put to a test Hume's problematic concept, his crux metaphysicorum, right? The crisis or the very center point of this, the concept of cause. Why are we just doing cause? Well, because that's what Hume was working with, right? But we could do this as well for substance and for community. So we think in terms of conditional, or as he's going to call it a little bit later, hypothetical judgment. What do we have when we make a judgment like that? If then. If this holds, then this holds. Or if this exists, then this exists. And that's what we typically think of as causing, right? But if we're just thinking about it in terms of the judgment, not importing the stronger idea of cause, we have an antecedent and a consequent that we're putting together. So if it rains, I get wet. We could say, well, of course you do, because that's what it means for, you know, rain to be there. It's water, it's falling on you. Okay, great. We're just focusing on the antecedent and consequent at first. And then he says, what happens in perception? In perception of things, we meet with a rule of relation which runs thus. Here it's going to look a lot like Hume. A certain appearance is constantly followed by another, though not conversely. This is a case to use the hypothetical judgment and say, for instance, if the sun shines long enough on a body, it grows warm. And he says, here there is indeed as yet no necessity of connection or concept of cause. Now, here's where he's departing from Hume. Hume says, that's what we mean by the concept of cause. Necessary connection, constant connection. The fact that when this happens, this thing happens after that. Sun shines, warms up. Rain falls, get wet. Light something on fire, it burns. We could go on and on and on. And in our real life, right, we do encounter all sorts of empirical connections like that, and we might ascribe causality to them. Hume says, well, you can do that, but you're only doing that because of habit or custom. You're not doing it because there's anything in experience or because reason is leading you there. That's the only thing we could do. And Kant is saying, oh, no, wait a second. There's another possibility. Not just another possibility, but an actuality, a necessity. This is how it actually works. So he goes on and he says, such a proposition, if we go on to talk about this, which is merely a subjective connection of perceptions, if we're going to turn it into a judgment of experience, which he's already distinguished from judgments of perception earlier on, it must be regarded as necessarily and universally valid. Now, Hume could say, yeah, that's the problem, man. You know, it's not necessarily and universally valid. You just think that it is. And Kant is saying, oh, no, it is. We just want to know whether it actually is that way, whether it holds for us. And he says, the empirical rule is now considered a law and is valid not merely of appearances, but valid of them for the purposes of a possible experience, which requires universal and therefore necessarily valid rules. And he says, I easily comprehend the concept of cause as a concept belonging necessarily to the mere form of experience. Cause is something that we are, you could say, importing, projecting in order to have that kind of necessity in our experience. Experience being not just for us as individuals, but like he says, consciousness in general. And he says, I do not at all comprehend the possibility of a thing in general as cause, inasmuch as the concept of cause denotes a condition not at all belonging to things, but to experience. So, cause, substance, community, all these things have to do with these universally and necessarily valid rules or laws, other principles coming from them, and they're involved in judgments of experience that we do in fact make. And he says, you know, you can't go to the things in themselves. Those are the noumena that we'll talk about elsewhere. And he says that the complete solution of Hume's problem rescues for the pure concepts of the understanding their a priori origin. And now notice what he says, something he said a little bit earlier, for the universal laws of nature, right? So we do in fact have a physics, a natural science here. Their validity is laws of the understanding, but in such a way as to limit their use to experience. We cannot say anything about the causality of the things in themselves, but we sure can talk about cause and effect in the phenomenal world that we perceive and make judgments of experience about, judgments that are not just subjectively valid for me or you, but objectively valid judgments that apply to any consciousness whatsoever, right? So he's going to conclude with something really important here. He says, we have a completely reversed mode of connection which never occurred to Hume. This is how we resolve Hume's doubt. The universal laws of nature are not derived from experience. We don't experience a whole bunch of things and then generalize from them. Experience, as Erfahrung for Kant, as opposed to mere sense perception, is itself derived from the universal laws of nature, which we can discover in this case by scrutinizing the understanding, by looking at the kinds of judgments that we do in fact make. And according to Kant, this leads us out of Hume's problem or Hume's doubt. It resolves it from the Kantian perspective. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.